Hello, and welcome to the podcast Biblical Question. We are excited you have taken time out of your day to listen to our podcast. For more information about us, you may visit our website at biblicalquestion.com. We will tell you the web address again at the show's end. We encourage you to open your Bible and follow along as we study the Bible. Now here is your host, Joseph.
Well, hello there, and thank you for downloading this podcast. Certainly am excited you've taken time out of your day to download our podcast and to listen to us around the world. We are truly honored and blessed that you have done so. If you're new to the podcast, I would please encourage you to check out our webpage, as the young lady did introduce to you. And there you can find a few things about us, including a prayer list. We have about a month left on our paid subscription. And just being honest here, we have failed to raise the necessary yearly support that really keeps this going. We make no money here at all. And so if you like this podcast, you believe it is a good thing, you can go to our webpage. There's a PayPal account set up for your donation. And we just truly, honestly need financial help to keep it going. There's just no way around it. I financially cannot do it alone. And so if you find it in your heart, God's laid it on your heart, and you've never helped in the past, I would encourage you to do so. At least be praying that somebody else can help. I know the majority of my listeners are outside of the U.S. in nations that honestly just financially can't do it. There are a few in Europe that probably could help. But anyway, so please be in consideration for that. This is really kind of a last desperate plea. So if you have a Bible, I would encourage you, as always, to follow along with the Bible that you have. There's free ones on the internet that you can download or use or follow along as well. We're going to continue our study. First letter of the Apostle Peter, and he's writing to Christians. And so, you know, I don't know how many people honestly study Peter. This has been a good study for me. It's been years, really, since I've really done an in-depth study of Peter's epistles. And so I've been kind of encouraged as well as I've gone through this study. What we really have learned so far from Peter is that God has really given much to Christians. Despite recent articles that I have forwarded to a few listeners that I know on a personal level, you know, 800% decline in Christianity as far as people believing, the attacks on the church as Christians as a whole. And for the listeners within the U.S., they just find it really hard to believe this. It's not hard to go on the internet, honestly, and read about persecution. Peter will talk about, if you're really truly being Christian, and really truly a follower of Christ, life is not a box of chocolates, as the old saying goes. Life is difficult. Life is hard. There's persecution. There's struggles. There's people are going to laugh at you and mock at you that you believe in Jesus as the God and creator of all things. There is only one God, and he is the only way through salvation, through his death, burial, and resurrection, which is really the gospel message in a nutshell. But, you know, the majority of the greatest persecution of Christians is Greek Orthodox, the Russian Orthodox Church. Communism is constantly picking on these people, harassing these people, and of course, those in Muslim countries as well. And so persecution within the U.S. has really picked up, but it's a different form. They come after you. They attack you with viruses. They on your accounts. They don't get along with you at work. They make fun of you there. How can you be a Christian and believe that it is a sin to have a homosexual relationship? How can you believe that it's a sin for other people to believe what they want to believe? Well, first of all, God gives everybody the right to have a relationship that they want. Does not mean that God ordains that relationship at all. You know, Jesus was persecuted for teaching the truth trying to show the truth to those who would pay attention to it. His greatest persecution was within his own Jewish faith and believers, and by the leadership. And so don't be surprised that people who claim to be Christian but believe there's multiple ways, have different views, have a very liberal view, would mock you and persecute you for believing that abortion is wrong, believing that sex outside of marriage is not blessed by God, and homosexual relations, and so on. Christian people who think they really should vote for a different party that stands for those things. You know, you have a right to believe what you want. It is your vote. You can vote for who you want. Do I believe there's consequences for those things? Yes, in this lifetime, and I believe as well on Judgment Day. Most people do not really fear Judgment Day. You really should. If you're not walking in the light of Christ, if you're really truly not following what's going on, you know, Christians can live successful lives, even though we are foreigners on this earth. I really do believe that. Peter, I think, teaches that. And Christians are really to mature in their salvation from learning from the Bible. And here's the issue that I've kind of been going with here in the last 2-3 minutes. Thus saith the Lord does not seem to reign really hard in the Christian belief in the Western world. It just doesn't. I know there are people that do believe that in the Western world. But as a whole, I can watch the television and listen to the local Christian radio, and I would get a whole different idea that life is just a box of chocolates, and if you're being persecuted, you have health issues, financial issues, job issues, school issues, neighbor issues, parent issues, child issues, that means you're just not living right. And that's a lie. I mean, it really is. And so to believe that godly people don't have problems with their children, never read the Old Testament, not once. Or they just have selective memory or whatever. And yeah, I'm being a little sarcastic too, I know. But as we continue to grow in our salvation, we need to be learning from 1 Peter. We're in chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at 11 through 25 here. So, read along with me. It says, Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. Believe it or not, those sinful desires do wage war against you. Live in such a way, verse 12, a good life among pagans, so that when they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. In other words, on Judgment Day, all will come around. Submit yourselves to the Lord's sake for every human authority, whether it's to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who were sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to condemn those who do right. For it is God's will that you be doing good. You should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Verse 16, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Now, a lot of people in America, especially, they're going to say, we're not slaves to anything. We're all free. Well, you're free to make choices, good or bad, righteous or evil, within the society rules or not. But there is consequences for those. And so, verse 17, show proper respect to everyone, love the family believers, fear God, and honor the emperor. Well, again, I don't know how many times I've heard over the years preaching in local congregations that Christians should not fear God. Well, here's Peter, an apostle, saying otherwise. Jesus would say otherwise. Don't fear a man, but fear the one who can cast your soul into hell. So, verse 18, slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourself to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. Verse 19, for it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong? Endure it. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. You know, Jesus went through that exact thing. You know, he suffered, he endured his punishment of the cross, crucifixion, the flogging. But he didn't do no wrong. He had done nothing wrong to deserve the death that he did. Verse 21, to this we are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. Verse 23, when they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate when he suffered. He made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Excuse me. Verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we may die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Verse 25, you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your soul. I believe the key verse here is really in verse 12. You know, how important is this? It is repeated again in verse 15, as we just read. Christians are to do good all the time. Not so much if God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And why aren't his people those who claim to be Christian? I think simply many Christians are either ignorant, they don't care, or they're just flat out just being disobedient. So let's all take a moment, honestly, in the time of your day, to quietly pray and make a commitment to follow our good God. Make a commitment to the person that God desires that you and I should be. Pray quietly, okay? I mean, I don't care if you pause the podcast and have that prayer, but have that prayer. Again, as we read here in 1 Peter 2:15, for it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. When Christians do good, they are not only pleasing God, they will improve their society. How much better would our society be if we truly, as Christians, a church, we voted correctly, we stood up for what was right, and said no to the wrong and the sinful. I mean, if we look at the other English translations of this verse, I think maybe it's a little clearer. The King James says, abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. The English Standard Version says, abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Our flesh impacts our physical being, which in turn really impacts our soul. Another way of looking at this is to control selfish appetites. Again, be aware of the appetites of our flesh. And let us say no to that hunger of the lust of the flesh. And we would do good to do so. The next thing that we need to do is to be able to do good that is within. Again, verse 13, submit to every human authority. Now, we must always be careful of taking phrases out of context of the Bible, right? So, try to understand this. We submit for the Lord's sake. In other words, Christians are to obey all the rules unless it is a sin against God. At the end of the day, God's final word and authority outrank anything and earn you want. In verse 16, I mean, what does this really mean? A Christian can say, I can sin all I want because Jesus died for all of them anyway, and I said a prayer, and now I'm saved, and it doesn't matter. Wrong. I mean, if the Christian keeps on sinning, even though they claim to the cross of Christ's forgiveness, are they really living for God or for the evil one? Christians are of God, not of the devil, and the sin is the sin comes from the devil. The devil is not of God. Christians are to fight sin and not live in it, not swim in it and waddle in it. The opposite of evil is good. Say no to the devil and flee from sin. And honestly, we would all do much better for it. And then in verse 17, we read four positive instructions for the Christian. First one is show respect to everyone. The Greek here has this idea is to value people. I mean, people are really created in God's image, and we should try to do our best to value that. Love other Christians, this agape-type love. Think of that better thing for the other person. I know it's so easy to say me, myself, and I, because those are the most three famous people in the world. If you don't believe me, just ask me, right? But here, again, it's not about how we feel. It is a commitment to truly help others. Agape love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, fear God. This doesn't mean that we need to be shaken on our boots, but it really means to have reverence and respect for God, His Word, and His desires for us. And fourth of all, honor the emperor. Is God really repeating himself again here from verse 13? I don't think so. It is submitting to the rules. Honoring here in verse 17 is to respect and value whoever God has placed above us. And that's really difficult for sometimes, even for myself. I look at people who are in political offices, who claim to be good Christians, good Catholics, good Lutherans, good whatever. And their words and their actions and their lifestyle speak so much louder. And so wherever God has placed us, wherever that authority is over us, including workplaces, we're to do good. And many people are going to say, well, how can I do good at my work? You don't know my boss, and you don't know the corruption of the co-workers. But look at verse 18 again. And did you notice God did not say to submit to your masters? God says in reverent fear of God, submit to your boss. I mean, just like submitting to all authorities, Christians are to obey their boss unless it is a sin against God. You know, I do this at work. You know, my supervisor, he's a nice guy. He's a young guy, but he's a nice guy. And he's never has once talked down to me. I'm probably 30 years older than him. But at the end of the day, I know he's the supervisor, and whatever he asks, I just do. And why is that? Well, one, God commands it. But the other thought is, I get paid all the same whether I do what he wants or not, and I could lose my job if I don't. And if I don't, I could be actually committing a sin against God. So what can help us do good? Always remember what Jesus did for us, and then follow his example. This is really where everything starts. How bad are we in doing this? Do we walk around always thinking of Jesus and what he did for us? I think this, of course, really means putting on the full armor of God, as the Apostle Paul would talk about. But this is why many of us get in trouble, because we do not remember Christ in our lives. Christians are so bad in remembering the work of Christ that God has to command us to remember by doing communion. But even when we do that, many Christians only see communion as a ritual, not truly remembering the incredible sacrifice that Jesus went through for us. I mean, I watch communion many times. Just people just go through the motions. There's no afterthought to it at all. They just, when the plate's passed or they go forward to take communion, whatever. We seriously need to remember who Jesus is, what he has done, and what he's going to do. So let's end with the thought at the end of this passage in verse 25. It is the second important thing I think that we must do in order to do good. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. I think this is a key verse here. Return to the shepherd. I mean, there's several ways of looking at God, Jesus. This is the shepherd. That's one way. There is a legalistic view, is he is king, which he is, there's no doubt. But most people who look at this solely as king, they see nothing but a set of rules, and if you break those rules, there's no chance of grace, forgiveness, and there's always harsh punishment at the end. The shepherd is more of a guide and loving. And you start to leave the flock, and he'll come over and get you and pick you up and, you know, put you back in the middle of the flock. So, I mean, there's different ways of looking at this. I like the idea of shepherd. Does it mean that I have forgotten that Jesus is king? Because, no, I have not. He is the king of the universe. And it is his law and rule that will reign forever. What else should we do to return to the shepherd? I think listening to Jesus, reading the gospel accounts, knowing the word of God, praying to Jesus, I mean, trying our best to memorize scripture. And I have the world's worst memory. It's something I still try to do. I think in all situations, as we look at our list, we should always remember who Jesus is, what he has done for us, why we should honor and respect him and pray to him and allow him and his light to shine upon us to lead us through a dark, dying world. I certainly hope that as you listen to this podcast, as we go through Peter, that perhaps you're seeing something or hearing something that you think is really interesting. And I hope that you would go back and listen to it again, that you would truly, honestly read the epistle of Peter. It's not that long of epistle that you couldn't read it several times a day. And now every time I reread this epistle, I grab something a little new. I mean, the Word of God is definitely alive and well. I hope and pray that you'll continue to listen to this podcast and allow others to know about it, that you'll pray for this ministry that will continue to grow. Again, I want to thank you for listening. We'll pick up again next week for some more of this epistle from Peter. Thank you again. May God bless you, and may he always have the glory.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. Be sure to hit the like button and follow us on your podcasting app. Please check out our website at biblicalquestion.com. All one word, all lowercase. In addition, we have a prayer request page, a way of contacting us, a statement of faith, and other resources for our listeners. Do you have a Bible question you would like answered on a future podcast? Or prayer request? We would be honored to hear from you and add your prayer request to our list so others may pray for you. Subscribe to our newsletter and follow us on our social media accounts. Again, that is biblicalquestion.com. Thank you, and may he have the glory.